Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces. I am your host, Coleman, and today is Choptober 4th, and I want to welcome everybody who is joining us right now. I see Gabe Lord, AC, Wade, Bob Van Kirk, Jordan on the Operation Libertas handle, Hunter, other Jordan in the audience, Bitcoin Cowl, OpDoc, Patty, and of course, Jacob doing everything in the background. Good morning, everybody. Everybody have a good evening yesterday, a good start to today. Get a morning workout in, read a little something positive. That was a question if you guys wanted to answer. You don't have to if you don't want to. I have a lot to talk about today, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's been a very exciting couple of days. Very exciting and very inspiring. A lot of really amazing things are happening. I'm just going to say that the Bitcoin community is filled with amazing people. It's awesome.
It really is, and it is really inspiring to see how this group can just come together when we need to and be more efficient and more effective than the people that are supposed to be taking charge. So it's really cool. Gabe, if you don't mind, can you talk a little bit about the fundraising that we have going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So, excuse me, a handful of the members of the Bitcoin Veterans Group have begun mobilizing to respond to the disaster up in North Carolina. And it's if you've been following the news and everything else, well, we call the news what it is. But if you've been following the developments up there, it's pretty bad. And the response is not, it's not really serving the people the way that they need it. So a group of our guys have gotten together and are mobilizing to go up there and take care of business. And so yesterday morning, we launched a fundraising campaign to support these efforts. And the response has been, it's been amazing. I'm really blown away. You know, I woke up this morning and I took a look at the donations that came in overnight, and it floored me. It floored me. So, and I know that some of the people that are here right now have been giving, and I just want to say thank you. It's amazing. It's humbling. It's inspiring, and it's just, you know, this is what it's about, man. And I mean, we look at Bitcoin and we talk about, obviously, the money side, when we talk about the bigger implications on freedom. And when you get down to it, it's about the people. And when the people need to show up, the people are showing up, and y'all are showing up. So it's amazing, and it's still happening. And this is going to make it possible for us to go into this situation and for us to have a positive impact on it. And so every single person here that's giving, we are going there on your behalf, and you are going there with us. Your resources and your support are taking us there so we can go up there and provide relief to those folks up there that are suffering. And so it'll be good also for us to have some boots on the ground, to have some eyes in the situation, and to really be able to assess what's going on and to determine the best course of action forward, because the fog of war is very prevalent right now, and we need to be sure that we're responding to this appropriately. So anyone who is still interested in supporting or spreading the word or contributing or getting involved, get a hold of us, because it's coming together and it is shaping up, and it's happening now. And Coleman, I'll let you go into any other details that you'd like to, but I just wanted to throw all that out.
Yeah, thank you, Gabe, for that. And I'd like to make sure everyone understands what we're doing with this. So we've called this Operation Gabriel, because Gabriel is typically seen as the messenger of God. But in some traditions, they attribute him to the role of protector. And that's what we see ourselves as, going into this role. And so we're going to go in there and get concise information. There's a lot of mixed reporting going on. So the goal of this is to first recon. We don't really know. I don't think anybody really understands what's going on or what they're stepping into. So our group of guys are going to go in there and identify locations, start on-site recovery personnel and locate different assets that can be used. And then we're going to start an ongoing recovery operation that will help with immediate resources that are needed. We're going to identify anything that could be used for long-term, set up communication, comms, and help out with food, water, housing, and just getting these people situated so that they're going to be in a better situation than what they are. So like Gabe had said, if you're interested in helping, if you want to contribute with anything, please reach out to us. I do want to state though, I know everybody wants to help and everybody wants to be directly involved, but make sure if you're thinking about being directly involved, make sure you have some kind of like asset or skill that will be applicable to what we're doing. It's not going to be a walk in the park. A lot of this is just going to be roughing it. There's probably going to just be sleeping outside under the stars, a lot of hiking, a lot of walking, a lot of manual labor. So just make sure that if you're in the area and you want to help out, that you're able to do that stuff. We don't want to make it so we need to send a rescue party to go rescue us. So we want to make sure everybody that's involved is able to. So if you think that you're able to do that, reach out to us directly at the BV handle, and we'll go ahead and we'll get you in contact with the correct people. And so I definitely want to mention how much we as a group were able to fundraise. And so as of this morning, we've raised $16,489. And so again, I want to thank every single person who donated, every single person who went out and retweeted it. It means a lot to us. And again, we're not sitting on these funds. This money is going to be used to go out there and help everybody with everything that they need. And it's not going to happen overnight. We don't plan on just going there for a couple of days. We're going to be out there for about a week. And so, or a couple of weeks, I apologize. And so we'll make sure that these funds get distributed to the correct people. So if you haven't done it yet, please go ahead on the link on the in the Nest, go ahead and retweet that, repost it, tag people, make sure that it's getting seen. Because again, we can always use more. And if you haven't donated, if you're able to, any amount, it doesn't have to be a bunch, even just a couple sats, or if you still want to use fiat, we do accept credit card payments, but go in there and help that out. It's for a really good cause. So Jordan, I'm not sure if you have anything else you'd like to mention on that.
Yeah, I mean, a little busy, so I'll kind of make it quick, but basically, I think you covered it all. Like, the plan is to go in and kind of conduct recon. We plan on helping while we're there, obviously, but making local contacts who are going to be there throughout the duration. So even after we leave, we have points of contact to continue operations, to send resources to keep us abreast of the situation, because you need to find the people, the local people there that you can trust, that you can get good information from. And part of that, with their whole comms network being down, or in a lot of areas it's down, we're going to be distributing Meshtastic devices to key nodes so they can build up in kind of internal communication system. And then hopefully we can make contact via ham radio for longer distance, basically to get from the local areas where they don't have access to the outside world. The ham radio can bridge that gap to then get it to locations that do have cell coverage and internet access and whatnot, so we can have continued communication even in these areas that have zero coverage. And we also plan on going in with some Starlink systems so that we can give maybe not live, but as up-to-date reporting as possible throughout the days while we're there.
And like Jordan said, we are going to, when we get that information, we'll start feeding it through on Twitter and making sure everybody gets it and can see actually what's going on. Because I think that's the biggest thing, is there's so much different reporting going on. And so we just want to know the truth, and we'll share everything that we can. So again, I want to thank everybody who's donated and everyone who's retweeted this. It means a lot, but there's still more to do. So let's keep pushing this. Let's start tagging people, and let's show everybody what what we can do as Bitcoiners, because that's the whole goal of this space, and our mission is to reach out and connect with local communities. Again, we do this by just making friendships and connections, and there's no better way to spread this message of Bitcoin and hope than going out here to these areas that are affected and showing them what we can do. And again, this is made possible by every one of you who's tuning in today, every one of you who gives us a like, who reaches out to us, who retweets it, that we cannot do what we're doing without you all. So again, I want to thank you so much. And so make sure we spread this message as a community, get out there and just talk about it. We're planting our Bitcoin seeds in the minds, in the hearts of everyone, and show them that Bitcoin is different from everything else out there. Bitcoin is hope and Bitcoin fixes everything. So if you're new to the show, you're new to the space, you've just been sitting idly on the sidelines, reach out to us. Our community is growing and we're growing at a really strong pace. And so we'll set you up in the right direction. We'll answer any questions you have. And once you're involved with this space and this community, it's really fun. There's, I think veterans can relate. When you hang out with another group of veterans, it doesn't matter if you know each other, where you served, what era, there's just kind of brotherhood that goes. And so you have that with this community, but on top of it, you have another connection with Bitcoin. And there's no better group of guys out there, guys and girls, sorry. So make sure that we're spreading this message out. And I first want to apologize. Bitcoin Cowboy, I see you're up here on the stage. My computer or something must have froze. So on my end, it's showing Bitcoin Cowl. So I apologize about getting your name wrong. I see Punch Plate in the audience. Good morning, gentlemen. So did anyone see the HBO trailer that they're releasing of a movie that will be coming out on October 8th? Anybody on the panel hear about that? Punch Plate did. Yeah, so HBO released a trailer of supposedly they've uncovered the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto. And if you watch their movie, it'll tell you. It was really weird, though, because in the trailer that they have, they show a lot of Adam Back and Samson Mao. And so we kind of all know that they're not Satoshi. Spoiler alert. They don't find out who Satoshi is, but it's really good because there's 100 million people that are subscribed to HBO. So even if you get 1% of that are watching it, it's really good exposure for our community. So that's coming out on October 8th. So I think it'll be a good one to watch. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Can I jump on, Coleman?
100%, Cowboy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll reach out to you guys personally. I was in civil affairs for 10 years, so it sounds like you guys have a pretty good handle on everything. But if you could use a guy who's done exactly what you guys are doing, let me know. I got Starlinks and ham radios too, so assets, even though I'm in Montana. Go if there was a need. And the other thing I was wondering is about Fort, what do they call it now, Liberty, is right there, and there's tons of operators there. Are they involved at all? Does anybody know if they have any military assets that are in the area outside of FEMA? I mean, not working directly with FEMA. Question number one. And then two, and then I'll leave the stage, the HBO special. Yeah, that it's interesting. There's been a lot of people that have, I think the exposure is going to be good. I worry. Lynn Sassaman was there was a lot of, I don't want any, he was a interesting story, and I worry that any kind of spotlight on him, I mean, not just an interesting story, but a fascinating guy, one that doesn't deserve any kind of bad scrutiny. I would hope that doesn't happen. Obviously, I haven't seen the special, but everything's good for Bitcoin, so we'll see. Anyway, thanks.
No, thanks. So, Cowboy, before you leave, I just want to make sure your first question was, do we have any military assets that we'll be utilizing for Operation Gabriel?
Not necessarily us, but I'm wondering if there's any. I mean, we've got, there's a whole brigade of special civil affairs guys in, you know, an hour away or less. And I don't know. I haven't been following if there's any involvement by them with recovery efforts, with anything. Yeah, so that was my question.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure. And if anyone has further insight, please speak over me. That's where this mixed reporting is coming in. I've seen reports where they're telling everyone to stand down. You can't go help. The FAA is trying to shut down any civilian aircraft from flying around in the area. To reports now that they are starting to allow military to come in and help. So again, I think that's kind of the biggest question everybody has, is that the information coming out is not concise. And so we need to get in there. We need to figure out exactly what's going on and answer these questions.
Yeah, and I just want to jump in, and that's exactly right. There's so much conflicting information coming out of there. And, you know, you hear about, you know, people being kept from the airspace, private pilots being threatened with being arrested, you know, people that are active duty that are saying that they're being prohibited from executing their mission at the tempo that it needs to be executed on, being held back with red tape and for bureaucratic reasons. But then you hear that these different divisions are getting ready to go in and do things. So the problem is that it's causing so much uncertainty and frustration amongst the population that it's really turning into a powder keg that nobody wants to go off. Because people are feeling, as many of us I'm sure are, that we've got a lot of our people, a lot of our citizens, just, you know, normal people, families up there that could be, well, that we know are suffering and experiencing something terrible. And it can be quite, there can be a motivating factor we don't want anything negative to happen in response to the lack of information, because when there's lack of information or when there's bad information, people tend to make up our own stories, and it's usually never good. So that's one of the motivations behind us going up and doing what we're doing, is we need to know what's going on. So not only we know how to take action, but also so we can share that information with everyone back here, to help us make sure that the appropriate action is being taken. But the sooner the better, because if you're paying attention to social media and the different conversations that are going on, some people are talking about doing things that would not be good for anyone. And that's not something that any of us need or want to have happen.
And that's where I think it's interesting, because the accounts that are causing for militia to rise up and go against the government, I don't see any evidence to kind of support that rhetoric or that kind of calling right now. And so I think Randy had mentioned earlier in the chat that he thinks that it might be just, you know, bots or people just trying to sow chaos in what's going on. And I think he's probably right with that. What are your thoughts on that, Gabe?
Yeah, I think there are definitely chaos agents that look for opportunities just like this to stir up problems. I'm not saying that you know, that things aren't as bad as we're being told. They could even be worse. But that's the thing, is we just don't know. And chaos can be a very useful tool for people with certain agendas. And it's important not to fall into other people's plans that expect a certain type of reaction, because a certain type of reaction here, especially one that results in any type of kinetic activity or violence, could justify a similar reaction from the government, from National Guard, from military, from whomever they would use as their pointy end of the spear. But it could justify a reaction, again, that could cause a chain reaction that I think leads down a road that none of us really want. And so we also need to remember a couple of other things. And the first of which is, there is an election coming up that the administration in power right now does not want to have happen. They don't want this thing to go through. And I'm not going to start throwing up my own conspiracies, because I've got them. But the fact of the matter is, this is going to have an impact that is beyond just cleaning up after a storm and giving people water and medical attention. The state of North Carolina has been has been devastated and transformed. It's going to take a while for things to bounce back. But anyway, yes, I think, what to echo what you said and what Randy shared, I believe that there are chaos agents that will take this opportunity to stir things up. That'll take an opportunity. I mean, there's some people that are just, they're just got a happy trigger finger and they just want something to happen and pop off. They've been waiting for this their whole lives. And this is their moment to get out there and to do something ignorant. But yeah, the appropriate response obviously does need to occur, but we want to make sure that it's one that's going to contribute to a solution and move things toward a positive direction. And not make the situation worse. So knowing what's going on is the first step.
Yes. And so again, for us to figure out exactly what's going on, because again, there's just so many conflicting reports, we're getting boots on the ground. So if you could, there's that link again up in the nest, go ahead and share it. Just a reminder for everybody, it's not a Lightning address. Just scan it with your phone as a QR code and it brings you to Zaprite for a donation page. So if you're trying to hit it on your Lightning wallet, it's going to give you an invalid address. So just scan it with your phone. It'll take you right to Zaprite. I believe there's a link directly underneath it. If you follow that thread, that'll actually just, it's just a one click and it will take you right there to our page. And again, I want to thank everybody who's donated and shared that. And so just to kind of one last thing I wanted to hit on, Jacob, if you could just load that that video of Biden. And just give me a thumbs up when you're ready. Yesterday evening, Biden came back from touring and he was asked by reporters of what he thought was going on. And we'll just play it and let you guys.
Not only did something for courage, but physical courage. The other father's daughter.
What do the states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Okay.
What do the states in the storm zone, what do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm they're talking about. They're getting everything they need. And they're very happy across the board. So we just gotta keep, I'm gonna have to go back to the continent and get some more money for the thing.
Sorry, I had my mic on. So he wanted to know what storm it was, found out what storm it was, and they're getting everything that they need, and they're all happy. So again, this is why people are so frustrated with him. And this country, and it just shows you that again we're without a president right now. There is nobody in charge, and we're just flying. We're flying this country without a pilot. And so there's a lot of evil actors out there that are allowing this to continue. It doesn't matter what side of politics you're on. It's quite evident that this man has no idea what day, what month, what's going on, and he just has somebody whispering in his ear telling him what to say. So it's really sad. He should definitely be enjoying whatever time he has left at home, not worrying about anything. And again, taking politics aside, it just makes our country look stronger if you have somebody who's actually able to form sentences and is coherent. So I just want to share that with everybody and just kind of show you exactly what the president thinks is going on. And if anyone has...
I have to, man. I'm sorry. And then I'm going to back away. Listen, this entire situation, I hope for everyone, will be instructive and that it will help everyone accept the reality that in the immediate aftermath of a catastrophe, you need to be prepared to take care of yourself. You've got to get yourself there. Okay, because in the immediate aftermath, you're on your own. Okay, now there will be people that fight their way in, that push their way through to come in. But if you're expecting any type of support from the state to come in and rescue you, it won't happen. Okay, it's not going to happen. You have got to prepare yourself and your families. And you've got to build your local relationships within your community. I can't stress that enough. Build your local relationships within your community. Teach them about Bitcoin. Teach them about self-sovereignty. If you are living in the light of Bitcoin, and if you are enjoying the truth that it has brought to you, there is an obligation, the way that I see it, for you to share that with other people. You've got to. because this is about freedom. This is about the people that are in our lives and the people around us. This is about all of us. Okay. So you've got to build these relationships, share with them how they can be financially secure, share with them all those different levels and benefits that come with this, because it's the craziest thing. And we all see it. I don't know what it is, but when people jump down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, they start finding other ways to improve their situation in life. They get healthier. They become more prepared in general. They have stronger bonds and relationships with other people. Okay. And if you're not, if your entire Bitcoin experience, or your entire life is being lived only in the Twitter echo chamber, go out there and meet some Bitcoiners in real life. I'm telling you, it changes things. Get out to one of these conferences, schedule a meetup, do something. If you don't know any other Bitcoiners where you live, make some other Bitcoiners where you live by teaching them about it and just show them what you know. You don't have to know everything about it. Nobody does. Not even whoever it is they're going to reveal on HBO. Okay? Share what you know. Learn with the people around you. Because when it comes down to it, it's us. Okay? It's you. We are the ones who are going to need to move this world into the future. We can't rely on the state to do it. Okay? If they can't respond to something that they are responsive, and I'm talking about something like FEMA, if they are not prepared to respond to a disaster when it happens, and that's their point. That's why they exist. They have one job, and that's it. And they're not doing it. If they can't fulfill that, then that should be another example to each and every one of us that it's up to us. It is up to you. Okay, so we all need to stand up and accept that responsibility and move forward with that mindset. And so I'm not trying to be preachy, but I'm just, this is an example of the need for this. This is an example of the importance behind the things that we do. And when we know what we know, we've got to share it with other people, because if we keep it to ourselves, then we're no different. We are so neglected by. And so that's all that I have to say about that. I'm slowly backing away from the microphone now.
No, you're a good game. I like it. And I think it's very unique at all the different rabbit holes and the tunnels in there once you discover Bitcoin. Like you mentioned health, food. Like how many people listening today have discovered how poisonous the food that we eat or that you were eating due to Bitcoin? Not because Bitcoin itself, but just because of the community and the different research, and you open your mind. Again, if you haven't met a Bitcoiner in real life, you're missing out. We are a fantastic group, and we're even better in person. And there's not going to be a better opportunity to meet a Bitcoiner than Bitcoin Alaska. This is going to be a plug for Wade's Bitcoin Alaska Juno. It'll be July 5th and 6th. Strongly recommending getting there on July 1st and then staying to about the 7th, just for all the activities that will be happening prior to it. And then after the event. And again, I can't stress this enough. Alaska is absolutely amazing in the summertime. You won't find a better place. So definitely carve time out there and go head up towards that. So thank you, Gabe, for that. I really appreciate clearing everything up and just your wisdom. I know it's a touchy subject, but we definitely have to hit on it. Things in the Middle East seem to be heating up, not in a good way either. Some big news that came out yesterday afternoon were that the Gulf states declare neutrality. So Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the UAE, and Kuwait have all assured Iran they will not allow any attacks launched from their territory or not allow anything to cross their airspace. So that's kind of a big move that they're declaring this. And Eomer, if you want to come up here on the stage and talk a little bit more about that, I know you're pretty good with this stuff. But it just means that Israel and the United States were together on this. There's no denying that. But it means that they're very limited on how they're going to be able to respond if anything wants to go. And it looks like Israel's trying to target Iran's oil and gas facilities and storage units. So, Eomer, I see you're up here. Do you want to share some more insight on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all kind of goes hand in hand, right? Like, I think it's just the the weakening of our empire, right? Like, we are overstretched. I mean, you have to think about it. I'll post an article I wrote earlier in the week. But, like, our manufacturing capacity is not sufficient to fund even just Ukraine. Like, we were depleting ourselves when we were just funding Ukraine. Then when you look at, like, the I don't think people understand, like, the volume of munitions that Israel is using, right? I think they dropped something like 100,000 bombs on Gaza alone. We make roughly 30,000 bombs a year. And then the JDAM kits, we do 10,000 is our, like, baseline supply. We can surge up to, like, 50,000. 155 shells, prior to 2022, we were making, I forget what it was, like, I got to check on the article. I forget the exact numbers. But regardless, we need, Russia's making like 3 million per year. Between us and NATO, I think we're making like 1.2 or something million a year. Ukraine, they're firing, I think, now like 2,000 per day, but they need 10,000 per day to sustain, like, to keep pace with the Russians. And when they dropped down to half that, so like 5,000, they were saying they have like three times as many casualties. I forget the numbers again offhand for Israel, but they were launching a huge volleys of artillery. And hold on, let me check real quick. So yeah, they fired over 100,000 artillery shells in the first 2 months. So that's like through December, when they were firing into Gaza. I think they said 10,000 of them went towards Lebanon. So if you have to think, if they're going to do like an actual ground invasion, like how many supplies that will take. They are already, prior to this, using ammunition that was manufactured in like 1953. So that to me says like they're running a little low. So like the prospect of them like starting a wider war with like Lebanon is absurd. And then if you like that's not the big fish, right? Like, the big fish is Iran. So if they really wanted to kick off with that, I just don't see how it's like, let alone like manpower or anything like that, which they also don't have the numbers for, just the munitions and the supply. Like, all this time, like, the United States is like, you know, draining ourselves for this, these wars that are, you know, essentially wars of choice by Israel. They could just stop and, you know, we could avoid all this. This whole time, like, Russia still has the upper hand on us in Ukraine. And China's not doing anything, right? Like, so they're not being tapped out like we are being tapped out. They could be stockpiling this whole time. So, you know, it's like watching somebody fight, and then when like whoever wins, it doesn't matter, because it'll be so easy for you to defeat them because they're going to be exhausted. so it's a really dangerous, like, global situation. And, you know, I think people have to take a step back and take a look at the whole picture. Like, we are not in the stage of our empire that we can do this. And then to tie it back to Bitcoin, like, this weakness, you know, part of the reason like that the petrodollar and the reserve currency exists is because of the strength of our, you know, I call it like bomb and gun diplomacy. But, you know, it's showing itself to be weak, and it's like, you know, you don't want them to see behind the curtain that it's all kind of a paper tiger. And that, I think that's what we're at risk of doing. And I think like the Gulf states saying like, we're just going to remain neutral and they can't use our airspace. That's a bad sign for us, right? I wrote about it in one of like my articles earlier this year about how, you know, the Saudis have expressed interest in other currencies. You know, they've done some partnerships with like some like crypto-centric currencies. You know, if they see that they can, you know, gain more sovereignty and have more profitability with little downside by switching off the dollar, then they'll do that, and that'll be, you know, catastrophic for us. So I think there's a lot going on there. The bottom line is, though, like, it goes back to us not having a leader, right? If we had a competent president, they wouldn't be letting Israel drag us into a war with Iran. It's not a winning proposition for us. So the only hope we have now is the military generals and stuff reining that in and putting a stop to it. But again, hard to say without a president.
Yeah, I don't think they do that. I don't think our generals are very good that we have right now. Wade, I see your hand up. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And the big question here is, like you said, it's not a winning proposition, but what is the win? Like, we go into these things, and what is the win? In Ukraine, it's a bunch of dead kids who are going to lose their land anyway. There's no win. Like, in the Middle East, there's no win. What are we trying to do? Change minds? And people are just killing each other. That's not going to fix anything. Like, I just don't see any win, no matter how we go into these things. And so it's like, to your point, why are we even there?
Well, that's exactly it, though, right? Like, Americans don't understand what victory is, right? You know, we think, oh, well, you know, shock and awe, we saw these bombs going off, we're winning, right? And you see it, like, in the contrast, like, some of the early reports from Iran strike, they said, oh, well, like, nobody really died, so, like, how pathetic is that? It's like, no, like, inflicting casualties isn't the only way to, like, achieve victory, right? So, I mean, we see this, it's actually in our own, like, coin doctrines. You know, if you look at our own military doctrines, it says, like, you know, killing people doesn't mean they're going to win. And usually, like, for insurgencies, protecting the people is the most important part of like, winning the population over and stuff. You guys all, I'm sure, remember Hearts and Minds and all that. But the way America wins, like, so back to the main point, like, American victory is, in my mind, protecting the lives, liberty, and property of Americans, right? None of that is served by having any bases or any involvement with countries overseas. So, you know, it's costing us money. It's costing us liberty, right? Like, all these wars overseas is how we got the Patriot Act and all that stuff. Lives, you know, we have people fighting in wars for other countries. And it serves no benefit to us. So,
no. And especially when we're supposed to protect them. And as soon as we meet our goal, we're kind of done with whatever we wanted to do. We just leave and everybody we're fighting just takes back over and kills anybody that was our allies. We saw that happen in Afghanistan almost instantly. And so it is weird. I don't know why we're doing the things we're doing. And I think as time goes on, it'll be more evident, the clear goals and the reason we're doing this, but it's not good. And I think we're seeing that right now, the frustration boil over inside the country with the lack of response from what's going on in the Southeast with North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, with this hurricane. Again, it was FEMA came out and said they didn't have any money. They spent right around $1 billion on the illegal immigrants coming through, and that's why they don't have any more money left in FEMA. So again, when people hear that and see that, it's infuriating. There is no respect for the people who the government is supposed to be taking care of. And so as time goes on, we're going to start seeing some bigger changes. And I think the rest of the world sees what's going on, and they're just trying to shore up their alliances that's going to benefit them the best, because they see the writing on the wall that most people here are just reluctant to acknowledge.
Yeah, we go into Afghanistan with shock and awe. We go into Iraq with shock and awe. Where's the convoy with all the heavy equipment, like, rolling into North Carolina? That would be shock and awe. Like, why don't you pull the guard out rather than shipping them over to Kuwait and Tennessee? Like, why aren't we deploying our assets here locally? You know, when I was in the military and we'd deploy for a convoy, like, we got a bunch of big rigs that could traverse some pretty nasty territory and carry a whole lot of equipment. Where are they? That was Hill Air Force Base out of Utah, the air control squadron there. Like, we had a lot of equipment out of that. And where's that?
I mean, not for nothing, there's a lot of, I've seen a lot of, I don't know the volume, but, like, I've seen a lot of videos of, like, volunteers using private helicopters. Like, so, like, even if they argue we don't have the supplies right now, like, they could help facilitate and coordinate that instead of trying to be an obstacle. Like, oh, you don't have whatever permit to fly here. Like, just coordinate. Be like, hey, like, you guys are going to fly over in this direction. This is going to be your route. This is going to be your route. And they could take advantage of the people that are willing to help, and, you know, they could help subsidize with, like, fuel and stuff like that and supplies, and just have them running out and, you know, helping and saving people. Like, there's, instead the government's, you know, running blockers. It's pretty crazy out there.
It is. And so, again, time will tell exactly what's going on. And like Gabe had mentioned earlier, just make sure that you're ready to prepare for yourself or to take care of yourself. Have the mindset that no one's coming to take care of you, and so that you need to be prepared. And if you don't know how to do that, go back and listen to Wednesday Space. We had a whole episode dedicated to what being prepared looks like, what you might need, and different tools and assets, and relying on your neighbors to be successful in this. One is none, two is good, three is best, right? So make sure you have some neighbors that you can rely on. And I probably got that that saying wrong, so I apologize. But in some other news, I want to go ahead and start covering. We have a video we'll play, and Jacob, just give me the thumbs up when you're ready to roll it. But the IMF is urging El Salvador to limit their Bitcoin exposure. And so this is, I don't know who this lady is in the video or what her role is in the IMF, but we'll go ahead and roll it, and we'll discuss and dissect what she had to say.
Okay. So on El Salvador, IMF staff have an ongoing engagement with the Salvadorian authorities, and the objective is to reach agreement on a new IMF-supported program that would help with the macroeconomic stabilization and adjustment, and also growth-enhancing reforms. Ongoing discussions are focused on policies to strengthen reforms that can be used to boost productivity and economic governance. Addressing risks arising from Bitcoin is a key element of these discussions. And of course, the goal is for the fund to be in a position to support a credible and well-sequenced policy package that is designed by the authorities. With respect to the details on Bitcoin, what we have recommended is a narrowing of the scope of the Bitcoin law, strengthening the regulatory framework and oversight of the Bitcoin ecosystem, and limiting the public sector exposure to Bitcoin.
And that's hilarious.
Can anyone find Max Kaiser's response to that? I want to hear that.
I think Max Kaiser's response, he said that they're going to, El Salvador's going to start buying 2 Bitcoin a day now.
This is probably a little more colorful than that.
This is like a McDonald's rep saying, like, the food is fine, just take your medicine, you know, take your Ozempic, you'll be all right, just keep eating McDonald's, it's all right.
Exactly. It's a bank essentially saying, hey, you're our slave, but this is your way out. Don't escape. Don't be free.
And that's exactly what they're saying. And we were just talking about this, about different, you know, countries changing their alliance for seeing the writing on the wall. The IMF sees the writing on the wall as well. And they're absolutely terrified of what Bitcoin can and will do to their agenda and their plan. And so
this is not for El Salvador. This is propaganda for other countries who are thinking of doing this, saying, hey, it's going to be very difficult for you, El Salvador, to get a loan from the IMF. And it's really just a warning shot to others, because if they don't fully understand what Bitcoin country, you know, maybe they'll think twice. They'll be afraid to do something with Bitcoin, knowing that they can't get loans.
But then I see the flip side of that, with El Salvador being one of the most dangerous countries in the Latin America, and now they're one of the safest countries in the world. They're definitely a top 10. They might even be a top 5 safest country in the world over the last 2 years. And when you look at, they're completely debt free. They don't have any outstanding loans, and so they're financially sound. And this is another topic I want to touch on. The vice president of Argentina came in and sat down with Bukele and spoke But the first question she asked him was, I want to talk to you about Bitcoin. I'm very interested with it. And I want to talk about your Bitcoin bonds. So the IMF may be trying to do a little intimidation. But if you're from a Latin American country and you see you have crazy high inflation, you can see what's going on, you have nothing to lose. And I think El Salvador is going to be that beacon of hope for everybody that wants to implement this plan. And please, anyone has any counter narrative to that or arguments, please let me know.
I agree. I just think that, again, like the IMF has a huge platform, you know, and a lot of countries are still under their thumb because they borrowed money. And so, you know, saying to El Salvador, you know, all the things you said were true about El Salvador, but they're also not under the thumb of the IMF anymore. And so these other countries who owe or are indebted to the IMF, they are potentially looking at this announcement as, uh-oh, you know, maybe we should think twice about it. So I think this is all just to slow down adoption, because I think you're right, Coleman, they are a poster child and other countries should be going this direction. But, you know, the IMF has a lot of sway still. And so they can strike fear into these countries who are thinking of doing this and say, hey, you know, El Salvador, you're not going to get loans from us. Well, we know that that's a good thing. But some of these countries are probably looking at it saying, ooh, maybe we better hold off on some of this stuff.
Does anyone know how much Argentina owes the IMF? I know they just had a new round of funding over the last 16, 18 months before, I'm going to say his last name wrong, the new president of Argentina came into power. And one of the stipulations I know of that loan was that they couldn't use crypto or Bitcoin. So it'd be interesting to see if they're able to bypass it in some roundabout way and just go ahead and start purchasing Bitcoin. But does anyone know how much the Argentina owes the IMF?
I just Googled it. It says 42 as of April 2024.
More than any other nation in the world.
So what happens if Argentina doesn't pay that? What are the stipulations to that? If Argentina just says, you know what, I screw this. I don't care. I'm not paying this back. We're going to go ahead and start doing this. What are the implications? What does the IMF have? Do they seize oil? Do they seize different assets? The reason for that question would be, what does Argentina have to lose then if there's not going to be any serious consequence?
It's a good question, and I have no idea what the answer is to that.
If I'm just speculating here, but if there is a big regional global war that happens in the Middle East and it starts to spread across, I would assume that Argentina just says, screw this, we're going to start doing our own thing. We have nothing to lose. After everything's said and done, there might be a different power, there might be different rules. And so we're going to take care of our country and our citizens. And I could see the current administration having that approach.
This reminds me of when somebody comes over to the U.S. under somebody else's foot, and they have to pay money, any money they receive for any job that they work, to the person who brought them over here illegally. And they can never work themselves out of slavery or debt. And that's kind of how the IMF sees the rest of the world. Screw that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there might be occasions. I don't know. I'm trying to do a little bit of research here on the fly, but it looks like Argentina has one out of every $4 that the IMF has loaned around the world just to this one country. So it's a huge risk. And maybe that's why we're seeing this, them coming out to El Salvador, because I think we all know that El Salvador... Nayib Bukele met with Milei from Argentina this last week. And so this is just a shot across the bow, I think, for Argentina.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to play scenarios in my head. And for me, I don't see any serious repercussion on them defaulting on this loan. Like, I'm sure there is, but I just see them being like, what are you going to do? You're going to invade our country? Who's going to invade? Europe? United States. United States is already spread too thin. There's no way that they're going to have Russia or China come in and enforce what IMF wants. So for me, again, just kind of just going down this road, they might not have anything to lose.
Well, I think he, you know, if I'm thinking about this a little bit, I remember reading an article like a while, maybe a couple months ago, that Milei had sent out like all of Argentina's gold. He'd like shipped it overseas, so that might be part of it. That might be like the collateral, you know, like if, well, in case you guys default and crumble and nothing works out, well, at least we have your gold already, so there'll be some repayment. A potential fallback plan there.
Okay, that would make sense. So they have a little bit of collateral on that. But I think it's interesting. I definitely want to hit a couple other things before we wrap up the show at the top of the hour. Really quick, I want to give a quick thank you to our partners. I see Punchblade in the audience. Make sure you go check them out. Give them a like, give them a follow, and go ahead and check them out at punchplate.com and stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms training, paladintowertactics.com. Black Sheep Ammo, restock on your ammo supply at blacksheepammo.com. And Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. And I mentioned it earlier in the show, but Bitcoin Alaska is going to be on July 5th and 6th, but I strongly recommend getting there on the 1st and staying through the 7th at least, just to hit the events that are happening early on. It's going to be an amazing conference. Make sure you check it out, and it's family friendly. A lot of other conferences aren't. This one's going to be catered to family and children. So make sure that you check it out. We'll have more different links and websites. I think they're almost done with it, so we'll be able to post some more things as it gets through. But July 5th and 6th. The jobs report just came out for September, and the expected increase in jobs was 165K, and they wanted unemployment to be at 4.2%. The actual numbers that came in this morning were 254,000, and unemployment came at 4.1. I'm not saying that these numbers are fake, but I would bet a lot of money that these numbers get revised in December, January, to a lot lower. I think these are made up numbers to fluff up and make the current administration look well, give the Fed a little bit more wiggle room to cut rates. And I bet you come in that the numbers are lower. I would, someone put a date on this, but I bet you the numbers come in at about 140K is the actual in a revision. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Are you suggesting our government would lie to us?
100%. Yeah, they're definitely lying on this. These numbers, there's no way. There's no way they missed it by almost 100,000 jobs. So again, and remember, last year they revised the entire year. I think it was almost 900,000 jobs. So this is just coming in there and just showing everybody, hey, the economy's great. I don't think everybody. And I think after the election, we'll start to really see what's going on. But the markets are responding really well to this news. I think Bitcoin's back up over 61K. The markets like it. But I think, again, it's all fabricated.
And the longshoremen came up with like a temporary pause, I think, to the strike too. So that's probably helping stock markets and stuff. I think they're going to wait till, give it till like January or something to come up with a deal.
You're absolutely correct. So they've temporarily agreed to go back to work and renegotiate back in January. But the settled agreement so far was that they agreed to have a 61.5% increase in their wages over the next 6 years. So it works out to be almost about 8% a year pay raise. A lot of people are giving Ron DeSantis from Florida credit to this because he came out not yesterday and said that he was going to start deploying the Florida National Guard to the ports affected by the strike and have them to start resume operations that are currently shut down. He was going to issue the Florida Department of Transportation to waive any collection fees and tolls, as well as size and weight restrictions for any vehicles transporting the goods. And he was going to have the Florida Highway Patrol manage the flow of traffic from all these seaports. So he came out and said that on national TV. And the next day, the dock workers agreed. So I think they saw the writing on the wall. Florida doesn't mess around, and I want to give Ron DeSantis props and credit where credit is due. I do think he had a big impact on getting this done. And I'm glad to see that we do have some leadership still willing to do the right thing. We also jumped with our federal debt $200 billion on the first day of the fiscal year. So for those who are unaware, the government fiscal year starts in October 1st. It doesn't start on January 1st. And so it jumped up $200 billion in a single day. So our current national debt sits at $35.674 trillion. And again, a trillion seconds is just under 32,000 years. So take 32,000 years by almost 36. And that's how many seconds and years take for us, or just to give you a number, how big that number is. Give you an idea how big that number is. Sorry, that was not very clearly worded statement. But we're screwed. Find Bitcoin. There is no way we're getting out of this. I really like Joe Colasari for his, you know, he's very grounded and he, he keeps me pretty based and not jumping the gun. He still thinks there's a way out of this. The government can get their way out of this. And I do not see any way whatsoever that we are getting out of this mess. I don't see anybody trying to reel in spending. I don't see us increasing our GDP higher than what we're spending on our debt. We had, a deficit this year. So again, that deficit is just getting larger and larger. And the way you cover the deficit is you just take out another credit card to pay for that money. So things aren't looking good. And I think that's the main reason the Fed is cutting rates.
I see two scenarios in my head. Like either one, the government is exactly as dumb as we all think they are. Or number two, like there's somebody that knows what's going on and they're just trying to leverage the funny money of the dollar as much as they can to like get like accumulate like real resources and accumulate gold and confiscate Bitcoin and preparing for the eventuality of the dollar collapse. But those are the two scenarios in my head there. So it's up to you to decide whether there's somebody competent that's planning for a future without the dollar, or if they're all just idiots and think the dollar will last forever.
I don't think there's anybody competent, and I will just direct everybody to what's going on in the Southeast right now with the hurricane relief efforts. So again, like Gabe had mentioned earlier, no one's coming to save you. It's very important that you take care of yourself. And so just make sure you have a plan, make sure you're prepared, make sure that you can stay in one place for a couple days to a week without having to worry too much. And again, if you missed Wednesday's episode, it was a great show. We had a lot of people giving insights on what to do and how to be prepared. So I strongly recommend going back and listening to that. But we're at the top of the hour, and so we're just going to go ahead and wrap up. Does anybody have any final comments, concerns, anything you want to get off your chest?
Coleman, I did just post at the top there this Twitter handle or X handle recourse out of Amsterdam about the topic of Argentina's the recourse that there would be for Argentina defaulting on the debt to the IMF. So if anybody wants to dig deeper, that might be a good handle to follow.
Yeah, definitely. I'll check that out as soon as the show's over. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens, what they think will happen if Argentina defaults.
Yeah, and I posted, I didn't bring it up to the nest because I didn't want to bury the donation link, but I posted in the chat space there a few articles relevant to, like the overseas stuff, like the Middle East and some of the challenges that we have. And on the website there's other ones too, if people are interested in that topic. And I'm just a guy on the internet, so there's citations and other articles linked and stuff too, if you want to read more on it, so.
Oh, thank you, Eomar. I appreciate that. And again, please, I want to First off, I want to thank everybody who donated, everyone who retweeted that link for the donation page. That it really means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to all the guys that are working on it. I think they'll be shipping out on Sunday, and they will start getting boots on the ground. And we'll, as they get more intel, we'll start relaying this back to y'all. But it's going to take a little time. But what we want to do is make sure that we're helping people, getting good communication set up. And if you want to help, please make sure you have the skills and the assets that'll be beneficial. And if the best way you can do is just go on that link right there and just retweet it. Tag some people, get this message spread, Operation Gabriel. So we want to get out there and really help. So I want to thank everybody who's tuning in, everybody who joined me today, Gabe Lord, Wade, Eomar, Bob Van Kirk, Jacob in the back, Jordan who jumped off, AC, I saw you up there earlier. Again, I want to thank you guys and everybody in the audience. There's a lot of you, so I can't name you all by name, but it does mean a lot. I see you out there. I see you throwing the fist pumps, the thumbs. It does mean a lot. So again, we're doing this again on Monday at 10 o'clock Eastern time, and we do it every weekday. On Tuesday, we're going to have a great show. We will have Matthew Lysak, the author of Fiat Foods, joining us. If you haven't read the book, I strongly recommend going out and getting it. You can get it on Amazon. It's usually next day delivery, or you can go to the Safe House and order it there. But really, really insightful. Sorry, I just saw a message come through the back channel. I lost my train of thought. And check out the Bitcoin Video Podcast. We had Dr. Jeff Ross joining us. That was a great interview. I'm not going to give you any spoilers or predictions on what he thinks the price is going to do. You get to go check it for yourself. You can find the link on our YouTube channel or on our X handle page, and go give it a listen. It was a really good topic. Give a quick shout out to all of our partners again: Solo Satoshi, Black Sheep Ammo, Paladin, Tower Tactics, and Punch Plate. I see you guys still there. I really appreciate all. Go out there, have a fantastic weekend, and crush it.